United States of America.
To the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, welcome everybody to the Sussex County Council meeting of April 27th, 2021. As we get started, I'd like to ask everybody if you would just keep the officer from Delmar Police Department and Delmar community in your thoughts and prayers. And hopefully he's going to survive and the people who were hurt with him also going to survive. Mr. Lawson, approve the agenda.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. I do have one recommended change to today's agenda. We can strike executive session for land acquisition and possible action on executive session items.
Entertaining motion to approve the agenda as amended.
Sure.
Motion, Mr. Riley. Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions? Take the vote. Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We have the minutes of April 20th. Any corrections, questions? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Reading of correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have one letter, and it's from the Girl Scouts of the Chesapeake Bay, and thanking the County Council for the generous donation of $1,350 in support of the Girl Scout leadership experience. And that is all, Mr. President.
Thank you. Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Now move to public comment. Is anybody in the chamber like to, or in the room like to speak public comment to the council? You've got 3 minutes to bring something to our attention that you think we should be hearing about and we have control of. Anybody want your 3 minutes? Wow, okay. Operator, would you check online, please?
If anyone has joined the conference line and would like to make public comment, please dial 5-star. Again, if anyone has joined the conference line and would like to make public comment, please dial 5-star. We have Yuli. Yuli, your line is open. Please state your name and address for the record.
Hi, my name is Yuli, 22483 Bridge Circle, Lewis. Thank you for the opportunity to speak this morning. I'd like to start by saying that Sussex County's reliance in poultry industry is undeniable, and we have to find ways to deal with poultry waste in environmentally sensitive ways, such as capturing the biogas. Having said that, I'd like to raise a few questions regarding the bioenergy's economic viability. One, bioenergy says it has been successful in Italy and has built 200-plus facilities and manages most of them. My question is, where in the small country of Italy, how many big facilities did they build and manage successfully? In Europe, gas and power rates are very high compared to Delaware. The profit margin in Europe is higher than here, and the operations in Europe also seem to be smaller to take care of the regional waste. And then bioenergy is hoping to bring in waste from North Carolina, according to the March 12 article by Katie Tablings. So if they expect to have only 4 methane trucks out of the site per day and employ about 50 employees, bringing in all the poultry waste all the way from North Carolina, possibly through the Bay Bridge or Bay Tunnel Bridge, how can this be profitable unless the poultry waste producers pay them hefty for hauling away their waste? Meanwhile, I see that there's an app to connect the poultry waste producers to the buyers, saying their waste is valuable to these buyers. So where is their profit coming from? And who pays all the wear and tear on the roads for all these long-distance trucks, the methane trucks and the waste haulers, etc.? So does it make sense, the economic sense, that Sussex County gets involved in the DevCo's business? And that's my question. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Anyone else, operator?
If anyone has joined the conference line and would like to make public comment, please dial 5-star. Time, there is no one that wishes.
Thank you, operator. We'll close public comment. Move on to consent agenda. We have two items. Item one is the use of existing wastewater infrastructure agreement, IUA-808, Maritima, Red Clover Walk Project, West Rehoboth area, and use of existing wastewater infrastructure agreement, IUA-1083, Welch's Pond Fieldstone Project, West Rehoboth area. Any questions on those two? Hearing none, entertain a motion to approve them.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson, to approve the consent agenda. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Aye, we have motion carried. Mr. Lawson?
Thank you, Mr. President. County Administrator's report for April 27, 2021. Item number one, on Tuesday, May 4th, the Sussex County Council will meet for its annual budget workshop. The fiscal year 2022 budget workshop will be held at 8:30 a.m. at the Sussex County Emergency Operations Center. The next regularly scheduled council meeting will be held on Tuesday, May 11th at 10 a.m. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Mrs. Jennings.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. On March 17th, the Industrial Revenue Bond Committee consisted of the County Administrator, the County Attorney, the Economic Development Director, and the Finance Director, held a public hearing for federal tax purposes on the BDGDE LLC Bioenergy Innovation Center project application, requesting the issuance of up to $60 million of solid waste revenue bonds. Today, I'm requesting the adoption of the project resolution that was in your packet that authorizes the issuance of the bonds for Bioenergy Innovation Center project. The IRB committee recommends that County Council adopt the resolution. The IRB committee's findings and minutes to the meetings were also provided in the packet. The bonds will be paid solely from the revenues received from the applicant. Neither the full faith and credit nor the taxing power of the county shall be pledged to pay this debt. As required by the IRS, BDG goes through the county's process in order for the bonds to be issued as tax exempt. BDG has agreed to pay all costs of the county, including fees to the bond council, in connection with the issuance of the bonds. They will also pay the 1.5% of the bonds to the county. Emily Ninen, a partner of Ballard Spahr, who is our bond attorney, is here to give you a brief background of the process. Ms. Ninen, if you want to go to the count. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Emily Ninen. I'm a partner at the law firm of Ballard Spahr, and we're serving as bond counsel on this financing that you are considering today. You are being asked to serve as a conduit issuer, and as Ms. Jennings said, there is no taxing power or credit of the county being used to sell these bonds. It's strictly on the borrower's credit. And this is very similar to what the county has done before for Cadbury at Lewis, for the Indian River project for NRG, and even at this site, several, might be 20 years now, for the Purdue AgriCycle project. So I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions, Council? Questions? I think we're good. Thank you. Thank you very much. Ms. Jennings, you have a resolution?
I do. The short title is, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council authorizes the issuance of up to $60 million solid waste revenue bonds, BDGDE LLC, Bioenergy Innovation Center Project, Series 2021.
Pleasure, Council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Thank both of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Ashman.
Let's do the North Georgetown.
Mr.
Thank you.
Thank you. The engineering department is here to request permission to prepare and post notices for a new district in the North Georgetown area. The engineering department has received a request from Beacon Engineering for their client, Sussex Pain Relief Center. The center desires to expand their existing facility with a surgery center, and there are limitations associated with the formal variance permitted by DNRAC and Secretary O'Mara that prohibits this economic expansion. The county has received interest in the past from this parcel and few others in the area, and DENREC has sent a letter of no objection to them connecting to the county sewer. The county does have a pressure line in front of the parcel coming from Ellendale to Georgetown, where the waste is treated and disposed per our agreement with the town of Georgetown. The county and Beacon have reached out to several of the surrounding parcels to gauge interest in being included in this proposed area. And the map you see before you shows these parcels interested in the parent parcel to the Pain Relief Center as well. The engineering department would like to request permission to prepare and post notices for a public hearing to establish this final boundary and gauge if there's any other interest. And they will present a proposed boundary and explain the county rate at that public hearing. We will evaluate any requested revisions to the boundary, and a final boundary recommendation will be presented to council for approval at a future meeting.
I think this is, isn't this the site that a few years back we let them be in the transmission line from Ellendale to Georgetown to be able to build a building out there at Pain Center?
That's what they would like to do. We have never granted it in the past.
Okay.
And now we've had a lot more interest. I've met with a number of the property owners. There is an economic development component. There is a septic limitation component.
Right.
There is a site limitation component. So I can say there's a win on all sides from the property owners, the economic development side, the sewer side. So the engineering department does support the request to have posted for notices.
Good. You have a motion?
I do. Be it moved that based on the request of the county engineering pursuant to Title 9 Del C 6502, the Sussex County Council hereby grants permission for the Sussex County Engineering Department to prepare and post notices for a public hearing to establish a boundary for the proposed North Georgetown area of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Jennings, grant requests.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first grant request is Slaughternet Community Action Organization. They are requesting $5,000 for their senior center program expenses. Last grant received was $600 from Mr. Burton and Mr. Schaefer placed on the agenda.
Schaefer.
Mr. President, I'd like to offer $1,000 from my account from the taxpayers' funds to pay payable to the Slaughterneck Senior Center program. Okay. Rosalyn Harris does a tremendous job there and serves a lot of underserved people.
Good. Now, a motion, Mr. Schaefer. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer. Second, Mr. Hudson. To grant $1,000, Mr. Schaefer's Council Bank account, to the Slaughterneck Community Action Organization Incorporated for Senior Center Program expenses. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay, next one is Cheers requesting $5,000 for their 50th anniversary gala event. All proceeds for the event will benefit Cheer programs for Sussex County seniors. Last grant received was $9,833.23 from Mr. Wilson for virtual programs. Based on the history, a typical fundraising grant for Cheer is in the amount of $1,000, and Ms. Green placed on the agenda.
Mrs. Green.
Yes, I would like to support the Cheer Center for their 50th anniversary gala fundraiser with $1,000.
Okay. Motion, Mrs. Green. Second.
Second.
Mr. Riley. To grant $1,000, Mrs. Green, to the bank account, to Cheer Incorporated for the 50th anniversary gala fundraiser. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay, next one. Rehoboth Beach Lions Club Service Foundation is requesting $1,550 for program expenses to help support programs for disadvantaged children and underprivileged citizens. Last grant received was $1,500 from Mr. Cole and Mr. Hudson placed on the agenda.
Mr. Hudson?
Mr. President, I'd like to make a motion to donate $1,000 to the Rehoboth Lions Club out of my Council Matic account.
Motion, Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. To grant $1,000 to Mr. Hudson's Council Matic account to the Rehoboth Beach Lions Club Service Foundation Incorporated for program expenses. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Shaver.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Next one. Developing Artist Collaboration is requesting $5,000 for a mural project in West Rehoboth. There are no previous grants to this organization, and Mr. Hudson placed on the agenda.
Mr. Hudson.
Mr. President, I'd like to make a motion to donate $1,000 to Developing Artist Collaboration from my Councilmatic account.
Motion, Mr. Hudson.
Mr. President.
Yep.
Could I offer a $100 contribution to that also?
I'm sorry.
Could I please offer a $100 contribution
sure.
also?
Have a motion, Mr. Hudson, second, Mr. Schaefer, to grant $1,100, being $1,000 Mr. Hudson's Council Mac account and $100 Mr. Schaefer's Council Mac account, to Developing Artist Collaboration for a mural project in West Rehoboth. Questions on the motion? We'll take a vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay. The last one is First State Pickleball Club is requesting $2,500 to install court lighting at the Clayton Elementary School. There are no previous grants to this organization, and Mr. Riley placed on the agenda.
Mr. Riley.
Let me say this. You know, one of the rationales for the Councilmatic grant program is the fact that we don't have a Parks and Rec program. And so to my mind, this fits perfectly into that concept. And so I'd like to make a motion to grant $2,500 from my account for this project.
Motion, Mr. Riley. Second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson. To grant $2,500 from Mr. Riley's Council Mac account to the First State Pickleball Club Incorporated for light up the courts at Clayton Elementary School. Questions on the motion?
I will point out it will be open to the public as well, not simply to them.
Not just a pickleball club. That's good. We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, Mrs. Jennings.
Thank you.
Introduction proposed zoning ordinances, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have one. It's in Mr. Schaefer's district. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an events venue to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 98.60 acres, more or less.
We can place that on the agenda.
Mr. Schaefer introduces it. It's now time for public hearing. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Now is the time and place for public hearing on a matter concerning the Pintail Point expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District. There will be a short presentation given by Mr. Ashman. After that, there will be an opportunity for the County Council to ask any questions. And then subsequent to that, any members of the public that are present in the room will be able to comment. We will then ask if there are any members of the public listening in remotely. They will have an opportunity to comment also. After that, the public hearing will be closed and the council can act if they so desire. Mr. Ashman.
Yes, this is for the proposed Pintail Point area of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District. On March 23rd of 2021, County Council granted permission for the Engineering Department to prepare and post notices for a public hearing on the boundary for this proposed expansion. We've received a list of petitioners requesting that the county government establish a sanitary sewer district not limited to but including all lands known as Pintail Point in Milton, Delaware, for the preservation of public health. The county had been receiving interest from residents and an inquiry from a council member. The distance to existing county infrastructure prompted us to direct them to nearby private wastewater facility. The private wastewater facility had been contacted and provided an estimated cost of the project. DENREC in conversation stated that a notice of violation in the Pintail Point Owners Association was being considered, and a sufficient number of valid petitions had been received. The engineering department posted the notices and advertised on April 14th and 21st. The boundary you see up there is the boundary we are proposing, which encompasses everything in Pintail Point. The next thing that we...
Let me update the council. The notice of violation has been issued by the department. The county engineering department has made a request to modify the system, which we submitted, and we have reasons to believe that a modification permit will be issued sometime in May.
Normally during our public hearings, we explain our rate structure and the costs that are being proposed. This is our rate structure and our service charges, which will be billed quarterly and uniform across all our areas. The assessment charges are billed annually with the tax bill. There will be the one-time system connection charge or impact fee. This is uniform across all the Unified Sanitary Sewer District. And the permit fee, which is a one-time and is also uniform across all districts, is paid at the time of the sewer connection permit. The estimated annual service rate for this is currently at $296 per year per equivalent dwelling unit. The estimated annual assessment charges will be $954 per year per equivalent dwelling unit. And the system connection charges will be zero for homes existing at this time, at the time of substantial completion of the project. And the one-time charge will be included in the financing, and any future connections will be charged that SSC fee in effect at the time of the connection. So their total estimated annual service charges are the $296 plus the $954. So we're estimating at about $1,250 per year. If approved today to go forward with this boundary, we will be doing a referendum, and we have to accept absentee ballots. The absentee ballots can be available anytime after approval today. This information will be shared with the community as to who the contact person, which is Sharon Smith, and those requests can be made at any time. However, it is a long-term process as far as mailing out the petition, mailing out the affidavits, getting them back, mailing out the ballots, so we ask that people request them early.
Or come in person.
Or come in person, or come the day of the referendum. The referendum is currently scheduled for June the 4th of 2021 from 3 to 5, and that will be held in council chambers.
So maybe for the audience, if you want to vote absentee and you come to the county for an appointment, you can actually get all the forms executed, notarized. We will give you the ballot, and you can vote right that day. So you don't have to come back.
Yes, and this is a rather small district, so we're not going to go through the thing with voting machines and the Board of Elections. This will be a simple ballot into a ballot box. There will be this notice sent out as to eligible voters. This is basically based on state law. Anybody over the age of 18 living there for the last 6 months is eligible to vote. Anybody who is a property owner can vote, but only one vote per person. And that is it.
Any questions of council? Mr. Moore.
Okay, thank you. Are there any members of the public that would like to address this issue? Are there any members of the public in the room that would like to address this issue? Seeing none, operator, would you check to see if there's anyone listening remotely that would like to comment on this issue?
If anyone has joined the conference line and would like to speak on this matter, dial 5-star. Again, if anyone has joined the conference line, like to make or speak on this matter, please dial 5-star. At this time, there is no one that wishes to speak.
Thank you, operator. Mr. President, this time we close the public hearing on this matter. If council desires, close public record.
Anything, what do you have with it?
Mr. President, just a quick reminder. The agreement between Pintail Point and the county for transition services is tied to the creation of the sewer district. You may recall that. and the effective date of the agreement is tied to the issuance of the permit by DNRC. So just so you know that there's still two more milestones in front of us after the referendum is the sewer district creation and obviously the permit issuance, which triggers the effective date of the agreement.
Thank you. We will close public hearings. Okay with council, close public record. Mr. Ashton, you have the resolution, I guess.
I do. This is for the boundaries for the proposed Pintail Point area of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District. Whereas petitions were received from more than 50 legal voters of the proposed Pintail Point area of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District, requesting the Sussex County Council to submit the question of organizing a sanitary sewer district to a vote of electors residing in that area. The description is below and a map of the proposed boundaries attached as Exhibit A.
Pleasure, Council.
Mr. President, I'd like to make a motion for approval, and if I could just
wait one second. Mr. Schaefer makes a motion. Have we got a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Raleigh. Question on the motion, Mr. Schaefer.
I just want to thank Hans Medlars and his staff. They have gone well beyond the call of duty on helping these folks, and also Senator Lopez and Representative Steve Schmick and the administration. It's been a tremendous pleasure working with them.
Thank you, sir. Any more questions to council? Comments? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Raleigh?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Moore, next.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I'll read the rules of procedure for County Council zoning hearings at this time. When Council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because Council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County in its zoning land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, source of income, sex, creed, marital status, age, gender identity, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each application shall be announced. The director will review with the council the minutes and testimony from the commission hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the commission hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, Council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. There will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless Council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak and are present in the chambers, you are required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand, state your name and home address before you make a statement. If you participate telephonically, please state your name and address before giving your statement. When you speak, please turn off any electronics and make sure there is no background noise or discussions. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to me, and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. If testimony is repetitive, then you may be asked to move on to another point or topic. Remember, it is the quality of the testimony that is persuasive, not the quantity. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, Council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Commission has not issued its recommendation report at the time of the Council hearing, Council will defer action on the application in those cases. In those cases only, Council shall accept and consider written comments from the public on the Commission's recommendations to the Council for a period of 5 calendar days following Commission's issuance of its recommendations. This does not preclude the Council from requesting additional information as otherwise permitted. Furthermore, once the record is closed, the Council, on my advice, will not read or respond substantively to any mail, email, text, or engage in any conversations about the application. Their decision will be made only based on the record established at both Council and Commission hearings. And Mr. President, today's first case is change zone number 1991. Mr. Whitehouse.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a MRRPC, medium density residential district residential planned community, for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 5.0 acres more or less. The property is lying on the south side of Sproul Lane, approximately 873 feet east of the intersection of White's Neck Road, which is Sussex County Route 347, and Sproul Lane. The 911 address is 30261 Sproul Lane, Dagsborough, and the tax parcel ID is District 134, Map 8, Parcel 17.01. Submitted into the record, Mr. President, we have a copy of the applicant's conceptual site plan, a copy of the applicant's environmental assessment, a copy of the State Plus comments, and a copy of the applicant's response to the State Plus comments, a copy of the staff analysis, a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation response, a copy of comments that have been received from Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. I would note, Mr. President, that we've received 90 letters of support, 3 letters of opposition, and 1 mail return. Some of those comments do appear to be duplicates, but they have been circulated to Council as part of your packet. The application was subject to a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission at its meeting of March 25th of this year, and at its meeting of April 8th of this year, the Commission recommended approval of the application for the 7 reasons and subject to the 5 recommended conditions outlined within the motion. A copy of that motion, Mr. President, and copies of the draft minutes of both of those meetings have been included in your packets. Thank you.
Thank you. Just for the record, too, this is change of zone 1921.
Correct. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Fuquay.
Good morning. For the record and for the benefit of Mrs. Green and Mr. Schaefer, my name is Jim Fuquay. I'm an attorney here in Sussex County, and I'm representing the applicant, Natelli Communities. With me are Tom Natelli Jr., who's seated right behind me, excuse me, and Ken Usab of Morris Ritchie Associates. An exhibit packet was submitted for the record that included the executive summary of the application, the environmental assessment, the plus response, and the other items that Mr. Whitehouse mentioned. This is an application to rezone a 5-acre parcel of land from AR1 to MR with an RPC overlay. And this would be in addition to the existing Bay Forest Club MR residential plan community. Bay Forest Club is located north of Millville and just east of White's Neck Road. This 5-acre parcel is totally surrounded by the existing Bay Forest Club development and has access from a road called Sproul Lane. Jamie, could you put up the aerial map? That's it. If you look at that aerial map, you can see that if the Bay Forest Club development was a jigsaw puzzle, this parcel would appear to be the missing piece of the puzzle. I want to briefly review the history of the development, which I think will help explain this application. Bay Forest Club was approved by the county in March of 2004 as an MR-zoned residential planned community. To contain 808 single-family lots, villas, and townhouses. Over the years, there has been several additions to the RPC. In 2008, The plan was amended to provide a street interconnection to an existing approved but undeveloped subdivision that was, again, almost surrounded by the RPC. That subdivision became part of Bay Forest Club, but since it was already an approved subdivision, it didn't need to be rezoned. It was just incorporated into the development. In 2014, the county approved an additional 30-acre parcel as part of the RPC. A part of that was the old Jim's Hideaway campground, which you might be familiar with. That became part of Bay Forest Club. That application added an additional 84 units to the RPC, so that increased the total number of approved units from 808 to 892. And then in 2016, the RPC was again amended to permit an additional 21 units on vacant land that was already part of the RPC, so that again increased the permitted density to 913 units. Today's application is requesting the rezoning of a 5-acre parcel to MRRPC, again as an extension of the RPC. This land and some of the existing land in the development will be the site of an additional 23 units in the development, 15 single-family condominiums and 8 townhouse villa units, similar to other units that have been built or are being built in the development. The additional 23 units would increase the permitted number of units in the development to 936 units. Overall, the gross density per acre of the RPC will have a very insignificant increase by the addition of the 5 acres and the 23 units. It actually increases to 2.19 units per acre, which is the current density, to 2.22 units per acre. And again, since this land is actually zoned MR, the actual permitted density of the land is 4 units per acre, so the development's density is significantly less than what the MR zoning would actually permit. The 5-acre parcel is currently zoned AR1, but as I said, it is surrounded by the MRRPC. Under the land use plan, the parcel is located in the coastal area, and as you know, that is one of the designated growth areas of the plan. As to the specifics of the development, and again, Jamie, if you could put up the site plan. The entrance would actually be from the existing development. The road is called Sanderling Road. That will have an internal connection from that road to this site, and also another connection to Flycatcher Way. So there will actually be 2 points of ingress and egress to this additional 5-acre parcel. 2 townhouse buildings would be located on the eastern part of the site, which is to the right. So there would be 2 buildings with 4 units each. And then the remaining single-family units, the 15 single-family detached condominium units, would be on the remainder of the site to the west. The existing access to the parcel is from Sproggle Lane by way of a dirt drive over the panhandle of a portion of this property. That panhandle will be eliminated as a road, and most of that panhandle area will be incorporated as part of an extension of the existing stormwater pond that's located adjacent to the site. 69 parking spaces are required for this. They will be provided, and there will be an additional 18 off-street parking spaces, or a total of 87 spaces. The single-family condominium units are kind of clustered around a village green area, and that consists of community open space. And then there's a small community area fronting on Sanderling Lane, which will be a little open space area, and it's located between units 8 and 9, and then that will provide an open vista, basically right through the development to the stormwater pond that's located adjacent to it. Over 40% of this site will be an open space. There will be a 6-foot-wide concrete walkway meandering throughout this section, and that walkway will link up with other walkways that exist in the development to provide pedestrian access throughout the community. Environmental Resources, Inc. performed a wetland delineation. They found that there were no wetlands located on the site and confirmed also with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service that there's no federally listed animals, plants, or natural communities associated with this site. The State Historic Preservation Office, the SHPO office, indicated there are no known archaeological sites or national listed or eligible sites on the parcel. The site, again, will have stormwater management facilities designed in accordance with current regulations, and they will be integrated into the existing community's existing stormwater management system. The development of the site, as proposed, will significantly improve the stormwater quality by eliminating nutrient runoff from the existing conditions of the five-acre parcel. The five-acre parcel now currently has an unpaved dirt road, an on-site septic system, and a small livestock operation of pigs and chickens. As with the rest of the development, this section will be served by water for domestic use and fire protection by Tidewater Utilities. Tidewater actually has an existing elevated water tower located within the development. The section will be served as part of the county sewer district. The sewer is already extended to the site. The county engineering department indicated that the proposed additional units are within the sewer system design assumptions and that adequate capacity is available. DLDOT indicated that there's no additional traffic studies that would be required for this addition since the impact is negligible. Ken USAP was advised by DLDOT that no additional roadway improvements would be required since the developer is already obligated and has completed required improvements as part of the construction of the existing development. Purchasers of the 23 units will become members of the Bay Forest Club Homeowners Association. They will have the same obligations and privileges as other owners in the community, including the use of the existing relatively extensive recreational facilities. Bay Forest Club has been a very successful residential community. Approximately 900 homes have already been constructed and purchased by the development's residents. The developer, Natale Communities, was presented the Best in America Living Award in 2019 by the National Association of Home Builders for the Bay Forest Club development. And the development was also named the Delaware Community of the Year in 2019 by the Home Builders Association of Delaware. The inclusion of the five-acre parcel is a textbook infill parcel, and construction of the 23 residential units is an appropriate and logical addition to the existing community. And as I said, it will eliminate an existing use that is not really compatible with the residential uses. As was mentioned, the council often receives emails and letters regarding zoning applications, but this application is unique, at least unique for applications I'm involved in that there was over 90 emails received in support of this request from the residents of the community. At its meeting on April 8th, the Planning and Zoning Commission unanimously recommended approval of the application subject to conditions, and those conditions are fully acceptable to the applicant. And based on our representations today, the exhibits that are already in the record and the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission, the applicant respectfully requests your approval subject to the conditions recommended by the commission. And that would conclude our presentation, other than answering any questions that you may have.
Questions of council? We're good, sir. Thank you. Mr. Moore?
Yes, thank you. Is there anyone in the room that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone in the room that would like to speak in favor? Seeing none, is there anyone in the room that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none. Operator, will you check to see if there is anyone listening telephonically that would like to opine on this application?
Anyone has joined the conference line and would like to speak on this matter? please dial 5-star. We have Jennifer Norwood. Jennifer, your line is open.
Good morning. This is Jennifer Norwood of Planning and Zoning, testing the line this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, if anyone is on the conference line and would like to speak on this matter, please dial 5-star. This time, there is no one that wishes to speak.
Thank you, operator. Mr. President, this time we can close the public hearing in this matter. If council desires, close public record.
We'll close public hearing. It's okay with council, close public record. Ask Mr. Moore, read a short title, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a MRRPC medium density residential district residential planned community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 5.0 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 7, with conditions 8A through E.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Schaefer. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Hudson?
I vote yes, along with the reasons and conditions given by planning and zoning.
Mr. Schaefer?
I vote yes based on the testimony of planning and zoning and the testimony we heard today.
Mrs. Green.
I vote yes based on the recommendation of planning and zoning.
Mr. Riley.
I too vote yes based on planning and zoning recommendations and conditions.
I also agree with planning and zoning recommendations and conditions. I'll vote yes. Motion carried. Next, Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. Next matter is condition use number 2207 and Mr. Wojtek.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multifamily 75 units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 29.34 acres more or less. The property is lying on the east side of Cedar Neck Road, which is Sussex County Route 357, approximately 0.3 mile north of Hickman Road. The 911 address is not available. The tax parcel ID is District 134, Map 21. Parcels 21.00, 21.03, 21.04, 21.05, and 1,227 through 1,269.00 consecutively. Submitted into the record, Mr. President, we have a copy of the plus comments, a copy of the applicant's conceptual site plan, a copy of comments that have been received from Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, a copy of the staff analysis, a copy of comments that have been received in relation to the applicant's environmental assessment and public facility evaluation report. We have a copy of the applicant's Chapter 99-9C response, a copy of comments that have been received from the DLDOT service level evaluation response, and we have a copy of the applicant's proposed findings of facts and conditions. I would note, Mr. President, that we received 0 letters of support, 1 letter of opposition, and 2 mail returns. The application was subject to a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission at its meeting of March 25th of this year. And at its meeting of April 8th of this year, the Commission recommended approval of the application for the 7 reasons and subject to the 15 recommended conditions outlined within the motion. And a copy of that motion and a copy of the draft minutes of both of those meetings is included within Council's packet. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from Council? If not, Mr. Fuquay.
Good morning again. For the record, Jim Fuquay. I did want to mention, being a zoning attorney, it's a little bit like being a baseball player. I've been doing this for a long time, and I'm used to playing at night. You know, most of the zoning hearings I go to are at night. Once in a while, you get an afternoon game when we come to council. In all the years I've been doing this, I've never had a zoning hearing in the morning. And this is the first time ever, and I have a doubleheader. So it's kind of unusual.
And it was also the shortest presentation I've ever seen you give.
Oh, we're doing those 7-inning games, man. Jim Fuquay on behalf of the applicant, CBB Cedar Pines LLC.
With me are Preston Schell and Ben Gordy and Zach Crouch from Davis Bowen and Friedel. Again, exhibits were submitted for the record, including the applicant's plus response, the environmental assessment report, and a 99C report. This application is requesting a conditional use approval for 75 multifamily units, which would be 75 single-family detached condominium units. And the approved name for this development is Marlin Chase. The property contains 29.36 acres of uplands and wetlands. It's located on the east side of Cedar Neck Road. It's across from the intersection of Cedar Neck Road and Sandy Cove Road, and across from the old G.E. Hawker Shopping Center. There are residences located to the north. There's a mini storage and boat storage facility located to the south. And there's tidal and non-tidal wetlands that are located to the east. This property has a very interesting zoning history. I originally became involved with this parcel in 2002, and I have been involved with it periodically over the past 19 years. When I first inspected the site back in 2002, it was cleared land with scrub grass and bushes and an overgrown dirt pile on the northern portion of the land. And as of a couple weeks ago, when I looked at it, it pretty much looked the same as it had back in 2002. So over the past 19 years, the following development activities had occurred. The site was approved as a conditional use for 143 multifamily townhouse units in 2003. And for unusual reasons, that never happened, and that approval eventually expired. In 2012, a conditional use application was filed for an RV park and water park, and needless to say, that application was withdrawn due to, let's just say, it was not very popular. In 2014, the county did approve a 45-lot MRRPC and a conditional use for 30 townhouse units, or a total of 75 residential units. In 2018, the final RPC site plan for the 45 lots was approved and recorded. However, the conditional use approval for the 30 multifamily units had expired in 2017, so that application had to be refiled, and the 30 townhouse units were reapproved by the council in 2018. So as a result of that, as of today, the site actually has valid approval for 75 residential units, 45 lots, and 30 townhouse units. Today's application is to maintain the already approved same density of 75 units, but based on market demand, to change the types of units to all single-family detached condominium units. Now, the proposed units are very similar to units that have been successfully developed in other communities, including Truett's Homestead near Rehoboth, Sailside at the Peninsula, Arbor Lynn, and then Governor's Development near Lewis. As was planned for the already approved development, the proposed development will be served central water for domestic use and fire protection by Sussex Shores Water Company. The site is in the Cedar Neck expansion area of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. A sewer concept plan has already been reviewed and approved by Sussex County Engineering Department. There is a regional sanitary sewer pump station, number 176, that already exists actually on the site, on the northern boundary of the property, and an existing 15-foot permanent easement that extends from the pump station to the right-of-way of Cedar Neck Road. And the county engineer has confirmed that wastewater capacity is available for the proposed development. Stormwater management facilities will be designed and constructed in accordance with DENREC sediment and stormwater regulations. These regulations employ a comprehensive approach to stormwater management and sediment control both during and after construction of the development. Wetlands on the site were delineated by Back Creek Environmental. They determined that there were 7.43 acres of tidal wetlands and 4.41 acres of non-tidal wetlands that extended on the eastern boundary of the property. A preliminary jurisdictional determination was issued by the Corps of Engineers on January 24, 2018, verifying that delineation. all of the proposed buildings to be located on the site, particularly on the rear portion of the site, will be located well in excess of the 50-foot setback from tidal wetlands that's required by ordinance. And as stated in the proposed conditions that were submitted, the applicant is voluntarily proposing a minimum 100-foot building setback from the tidal wetlands line and a voluntary 20-foot building setback from the non-tidal wetlands line. The current approved plans do not have any setback from the non-tidal wetlands, and as I said, this setback from the non-tidal wetlands has been offered and is contained in the commission's recommendation. As to DLDOT requirements, a 20-foot strip of right-of-way along the eastern side of Cedar Neck Road has already been dedicated to the state of Delaware by the recording of the final plot for the site's prior approval. There will be an additional 15-foot wide easement granted to the state along that right-of-way that will be for a public shared use path. DLDOT had previously approved an entrance for the property in 2018, and that entrance site will remain at the same location. The entrance will be designed and constructed in accordance with DLDOT requirements, including any roadway improvements such as turn lanes or decel lanes. As provided in DLDOT's coordination manual, an area-wide study fee will be paid in lieu of a traffic impact study. The property is located in the Fire Protection Service area of the Millville Volunteer Fire Company and is in the Indian River School District. As to the specifics of the site plan, as I said, the entrance will be from Cedar Neck Road at the location previously approved by DLDOT. The interior drives are laid out in a rectangular shape with 75 detached single-family units fronting on both sides of the drive. Sidewalks will be located on the interior side of that development street. Since all of the units will be part of a condominium regime, all of the land will be a common element of the condominium, and all lawns and landscaping maintenance will be the responsibility of the condominium association, and that will ensure a well-maintained and uniform appearance throughout the community. In addition, again, as was or as will be provided in the condominium documents and as was proposed in the conditions that were submitted to the Planning Commission, the owners will be prohibited from applying any fertilizer or chemicals to lawns or landscaping. That will be the responsibility of the condominium association, and that will be done in a manner that utilizes best management practices. There's a large stormwater pond that will be centrally located on the site. There's a recreational complex on the western boundary of the pond, which is the side closer to Cedar Neck Road. The recreational facilities will include an outdoor pool and deck, an outdoor fireplace and grilling area, restrooms and a storage area, a tot lot playground, a fenced-in dog park, a community garden, two pickleball courts, and a central mailbox site. There will also be a small neighborhood park located on the east side of the site between units 23 and 24. That's that orange on the site plan. Each unit is required to have two off-street parking spaces. So in addition to those 150 spaces, there will be an additional 51 parking spaces located at the recreational area and at two other locations in the development. There will be a 20-foot landscape buffer along the southern boundary of the site. That's the boundary that's adjacent to the mini storage facility, and also along the western side of the property along the 15-foot easement that will be used for the shared use path that borders Cedar Neck Road. On the north boundary, the buildings will be set back 35 feet from the property line, and there will be a 20-foot landscape buffer provided in that area. To the east, this is where the wetlands are, As I stated, all buildings will have a voluntary 20-foot setback from the nine tidal wetlands and a 100-foot buffer from the tidal wetlands. Lastly, under the 2019 Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, the site is located in the coastal area. That is one of the designated growth areas in the comprehensive plan. The plan states that a range of housing types should be permitted in the coastal area, including single-family, townhouse, and multifamily units, and that the a density of 4 to 12 units per acre can be appropriate in certain locations in the coastal area. This site is zoned MR, medium density residential, which that zoning permits 4.3 units per acre. This property will have a gross has a gross acreage of 29.36 acres. If you subtract the 7.43 acres of tidal wetlands, it leaves a net density of 21.9 acres, which would actually permit or at least allow a maximum of 95 units under the MR zoning. As I said, this application is for 75 units, which is a net density of about 3.4 units per acre. It's less than the density permitted in the MR zoning, and it's the exact same density as the number of units that are currently approved for the site. At the April 8th meeting, the Planning and Zoning Commission again unanimously recommended approval of the application subject to conditions. Those conditions are acceptable to the applicant. And based on the representations I'm stating today, the documents in the record, and the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission, the applicant again respectfully requests your approval subject to the conditions recommended by the commission. And that would conclude our presentation, other than responding to any questions you may have.
Questions of council? Questions of council? I don't see any, sir.
Is there anyone in attendance that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone that would like to speak in favor? Is there anyone in attendance that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, operator, will you check to see if there is anyone who is listening remotely that would like to opine on this matter?
If anyone has joined the conference line, would like to speak on this matter, please dial 5-star. Again, if anyone has joined the conference and would like to speak on this matter, please dial 5-star. Time, there is no one that wishes to.
Thank you, operator. Mr. President, at this time we can close the public hearing on this matter. Council desires closed public record.
Close public hearing. It's okay with council. Close public record. Mr. Moore, read a short title, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multifamily 75 units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 29.34 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 7, with their conditions 8A through O.
Pleasure, Council.
Mr. President, I have a little statement. I think due to the prior approvals and its history and the recent approvals, I would move for adoption.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Schaefer. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Hudson?
I vote yes based on the reasons given by planning and zoning.
Mr. Schaefer?
I vote yes based on the recommendation of planning and zoning and the testimony we heard today.
Mrs. Green?
I vote yes based on a recommendation by planning and zoning.
Mr. Riley?
I think the prior approvals say a lot about this application, and so I will vote yes based on planning and zoning's recommendations with conditions.
I also agree with planning zoning recommendations and the conditions. I'll vote yes. Motion carried. Council member comments. Any council member comments? Anybody got any comments? Comments. Okay. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Schaefer. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
We're now adjourned.
I was balanced last week out.
Wow.